This is iFaith message 49. The previous lesson was from 1 Timothy. It was called Avoiding a Shipwreck. And we saw that in order to remain afloat and seaworthy, really to make it to the port, we need to protect our heart, conscience, and faith. And that's how we love, not just God, but love others and affect them in a good way. Not to do so, not to protect our heart, our conscience, our faith, is to flirt with danger, and it's very risky. And we will return to this theme a bit more two talks from now once we get to Titus. Well, today is called The Gospel in a Poem. I realize that some people may not be that encouraged of a poem. I'm not really a poetry guy. Well, I think we all appreciate poetry at some level, but however you feel, much of the Bible is poetic. By poetic, I don't mean you don't have to obey it. I simply mean the kind of literature has the characteristics of poetry. In fact, that's close to one-third of the entire Bible. Not obviously, Psalms and Proverbs are poetry, but Job is almost completely poetry. The prophets are largely poetry. They're poems scattered throughout the Scripture. And the one we're looking at today is just a single verse. So ultimately, you can't get away from poetry. It's part of life. It's a big part of the Bible. The dose you'll be taking today, the dosage of poetry, is small. It's just six lines in a single verse. Perhaps Paul wrote these, or maybe he's quoting a hymn or a creed, something that Timothy and others would have recognized. I think that's probably more likely than that he wrote it, but he could have. It's difficult to say, but really it doesn't matter. And I'd like you to notice how this verse encapsulates the gospel message. And this is in 1 Timothy 3:16. Not the more famous 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired and useful. 1 Timothy 3:16, and he's talking about godliness. And notice the connections. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. That's it. That's the foundation for our mini sermon today. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. So if we want to be godly, and that's vital for Timothy, it's vital for the members of the church in Ephesus, where he is currently serving. And if the false teachers would get this, then well, they would stop being false teachers, and they would affect people for good. So there's a connection between the events in Christ's life and our godliness. That's what Paul says. True godliness springs from a mystery. So we need to have a certain appreciation of who Jesus Christ is. Now, this is a poem. So I'm going to read it for us. I'll read it in the classical pronunciation in which I was trained. And after that, we'll see what it sounds like in New Testament Greek, which is a different pronunciation. And I'll begin with the poem itself. He appeared in the flesh. Hos phanerothe en sarki, edikaiothe en pneumati, opthe angelois, ekerukthe en ethnesen, epistelthe en kosmo, analemthe en doxe. So you can hear the rhythm. There's a certain tempo. You may not recognize the words, but it doesn't sound like prose. It sounds more like poetry. In fact, it would have sounded the rhymes, and you know, rhyme is in English, that's important in poetry. Not all languages need rhyme for poetry, but there is some rhyme. Let me read this in the Koine Greek of the New Testament times. It would be something like this: Hos epharanothi en sarki, idikaiothe en pnephneti, opthi angelis, ekerukthi en ethnesen, epistephthi en kosmo, anilimphthi en doxi. So even more, you can feel it. And with the tempo and the sounds, it makes it easier to remember. In fact, it's not a bad idea for us to memorize this. This is a great poem. It mentions his appearance in the flesh, vindication by the Spirit, and I think this is referring to his resurrection, his being seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Okay. We find many elements of the gospel right here. The incarnation, that is God sending his Son to become human like us. We find the resurrection, the ascension, which is very important. We don't often talk about that. But without the ascension, Jesus would not have sat at the Father's right hand and rule, universal kingship. So we see different elements. You say, how do I get that? Well, he's seen the flesh. Incarnation means being in the flesh, being put into flesh. Vindication, this is when he's shown that he was not actually abandoned by God, that God is behind this. And he's seen by angels. He's seen by, he's seen by many people, the appearances, and there were many of them. Taken up would refer to that ascension. Believed on among the nations would point towards his dominion. Because the basic message of the gospel is that King Jesus is come, and his kingdom is coming. It's becoming more and more realized and fulfilled right now. In fact, the gospel message we could find 10 different elements in it. Usually when we read about the gospel, we just read a few. Well, even here, because poetry is not comprehensive, poetry would tend to be more figurative and also more representative. So in this poem, we have a number of different things about Christ, but not everything. Not everything. It does not, for example, mention his death right here. But the gospel actually has 10 different elements. And it doesn't include repentance and baptism. Sorry. But then the gospel doesn't include faith. Because those are the response to the gospel. Those are the response. And if you get confused, you get really confused. I had a debate recently with a Baptist scholar. He just couldn't get it out of his head that repentance and baptism is a response to the gospel. He was thinking, well, if you have to do something and repent and get baptized, then you're earning your salvation. And I'm saying, no, that's just the response. Everyone believes there's a way to become a Christian. Everyone believes to be born again, you have to do something, right? That was what our disagreement was on. It was a good debate, but I think he was confused about the gospel. So you have Christ in heaven. He is sent. The Father sends the Son. Incarnation, he's born. Obviously, he grows. We have his ministry. Now, there are many events in there from his baptism, the transfiguration, but you've got his ministry and his death, his burial, his resurrection, the appearances. You have the ascension, reigning at the right hand of the Father. Then coming again, because the Bible teaches there are two comings of Christ. And then what happens? We have the resurrection of the dead, we have the judgment day, and there's one kingdom after that. All dominion the Son gives back to the Father so that God may be all in all, 1 Corinthians 15:28. So this message of God's universal dominion, his kingdom, begins with the incarnation and ends with, well, God being all in all. There are 10 different elements. But many believers even, many real Christians believe that the gospel message is simply a message of good news, or it's about the forgiveness of sins. And it is, but that's not the whole thing. And that's not even the major thing. So again, sadly, for many people, gospel is just how do you get saved. They tend to confuse the response to the gospel, or the means by which we're forgiven, with the gospel itself. And those, again, are different. They're missing the richer, broader picture. Okay, what does this mean for us? Well, one thing is, if we're to be godly people, we have to internalize this message. Not just talk about it occasionally, maybe some evangelism or sharing with a brother or sister over coffee. Those are good things. But Paul had said, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. And then we have our poem. That was a mystery in part because no one figured this out ahead of time. It wasn't that the Pharisees and Sadducees were all waiting for the Son of God to reveal himself, and what they expected of the Messiah was very different from reality anyway. But we have to somehow internalize that. That means not just to understand it, but to think in our own case, okay, God descends into our world, fellow human, I need to get dirty. I need to enter the lives, enter the world of others. I need to press on, even though it looks bad, and trust that God will vindicate me eventually. We're not the subject which is preached among the nations, but we are the agents. We have a responsibility to be light to others, and they will respond. And so we need to internalize this gospel, not just talk about it. I'm going to read it one final time before we close. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory. And if we can commit that message to our heart, our mind, that's how the Lord helps us to develop true godliness. And our next talk will be going to the letter of Titus with a message called A High Calling. God bless you. Have a terrific day.